This is the Tom Likas Show.
Everything you say is the fucking truth, man.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
There's no doubt about it.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. This is where you find us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again, you and me. And we are joined in studio by our good friend, attorney Adam Sachs. And Adam, once again, is what a guest to our microphone. Adam, welcome in. Who did you bring along?
Oh, dear. Gary's laughing at me, Tom.
Why?
I don't know. So today, I have brought someone I really admire. This is author Suzanne Venker. Suzanne, are you there?
I'm here.
I'm going to give you a little intro, okay?
Okay.
Suzanne is a brilliant writer. I don't know if she would call herself this, but I think she is basically an anti-feminist writer, an anti-feminism writer, and she challenges feminism's basic assertions. One of the things that you see today, which is very interesting, which I think I'd like to talk about, is how if you ask college-age women or women in their 20s or 30s if they're feminists, a lot of them hesitate to say that they are, because I think that some of the basic assumptions of feminism are showing to be very detrimental, and that actually are things that are making people and women in general also very unhappy today. One of the interesting things that feminists like to talk about is how women today owe such a big debt to feminism, and how feminism opened up all these doors for women, and it's actually not necessarily correct. Feminism has had some very good ideas in the beginning, which they talk about, like wage equality, and women shouldn't be held back from professions if they want to, you know, go into them and so forth, which I think that I agree with and most rational people would agree. But we've heard from, for example, author Warren Farrell, how there really isn't such a wage gap between men and women. And the wage gap that does exist has reasons based on certain occupations that women choose and so forth. And that what's happened fundamentally now is that feminism has actually caused a lot of harm. And that women today, falling for the dogma of career and so forth, are actually a lot less happy today and actually living much lesser of a life, much less rich of a life. And Suzanne's book in particular, The Flip Side of Feminism, absolutely blew my mind. I think it's a masterpiece. And it talks about how feminism has these two sides to it, and that women who are more realistic and more honest about it realize the damage that it can cause and some of these assumptions that are really false. And then I think she has a new book now called The War on Men, which also talks about how society, and this is also applies also to young men and boys and so forth, is suggesting that a lot of masculine traits are always bad, and that boys basically are being raised as imperfect girls, that they should, you know, sit still and they shouldn't be rambunctious, and that this is actually something that also causes a lot of confusion and harm. And this is something that comes up a lot. Suzanne, this is, of course, we're on with my good friend Tom Likas. And Tom has sort of built his philosophy being very hard on the whole concept of relationships and marriage and so forth. And I know that you fall somewhere in between, but we're very happy to have you on, and I really want to hear what you have to say about all of this. How was my intro? Was that fair, do you think?
That was great. Really great. I don't know where to begin. That's a lot.
Maybe Tom will get you started.
Well, let me start with this. You don't know me, Suzanne, but let me start by telling you this. I am telling men today there's no benefit to a man to get married. There are benefits to children. There are benefits for women. But there's no benefit for a man to get married. And so why do it? How do you feel about that?
I agree. And, of course, you know, there's calling a spade and throwing out the facts, and then there's, you know, being concerned that you're going to be labeled a misogynist. whatever else.
By the way, for the record, I've never been concerned about being called that, if that's what people want to call me. I'm letting you know where I'm at. I understand that you're not calling me one. But I will tell you, as you can imagine, many people have called me a misogynist. No less than the Los Angeles Times called me that in a headline a few years ago.
Oh, dear.
But I'm a misogynist merely because I've looked rationally at what the benefits are for a man to get married, or for a man to let a woman have the key to his home and run the risk that she'll call 911 and get him thrown out of his own home, and telling people, look, everybody should live in their own home. Men should live in their own homes. Women live in their own homes. If you've got time to see me on a given night, I'll come over and see you. But I'm not letting you into my house, and I'm not letting you tell people I beat you or raped you. We're not going there. Okay, I'm not letting people say that I promise to support them for the rest of their lives, or I promise to have children with them, because I would never make any such promises. And the one way to guarantee it is not to give a woman the key to your place, not to give her your ATM card, to let her be your additional card holder on your American Express card, not to let her get cute joint checking account checks with the pictures of kitties and stagecoaches and puppies on them. You don't like my flat screen TV. You don't like the way I decorate. Why don't you live in your place? Do what you do. If you want to have kids, get somebody to artificially inseminate you and keep your kids over there. And then I'll come over and visit once in a while if you've got time. But I have no interest in giving you a stake in what I have. None.
Well, there's just no question that that times have changed when it comes to the role of men and fathers in the family, and that is directly attributable to feminism and the incredibly female-centric culture that we've created at the expense of men and children. And that's really the argument that I've made in several different books. And going back to that misogynist comment, that I was thinking more of, you know, it's easy to be labeled a misogynist when you're a male, but imagine as a female, I can't even point this out because I'm a traitor to my sex. But so I'm of the mind that you can't solve a problem if you can't name it. Now, if everybody's so busy being afraid to name a problem because their neighbor, their spouse, their coworker, or whoever is going to be offended, we're never going to get anywhere. That's obviously, as you know, political correctness, and it rubs me in such a wrong way that I can't sit by and let it sort of do its thing. So that's kind of where my question comes from, is look, we have a problem. Let's be practical about it. Let's face it. Let's talk about it. And let's get the facts out, especially to younger people who are not used to hearing anything negative about, or even honest about, feminism, because anything you say that's against it is letting down the sisterhood. You know, that's groupthink. You know, that's mind control, especially when it's not active. So I pointed out, you know, what the truth is behind the feminist movement that I think a lot of people are not privy to. One has to do with the backgrounds and the lives of these very outspoken feminists like Gloria Steinem and even Betty Friedan, and what really where they're coming from. And, you know, without getting into too much detail, you know, everything that I write about is about the breakdown of the family unit. And when that happens and people are depressed or despondent or whatever the case may be, they lash out, a lot of them. And instead of looking inward to sort of, you know, try to see what happened and make a better life for yourself, which many people do, other people, like these very outspoken feminists, lash out at society and say, wait a minute. My mom would have been happy if everything had just been set up right in the first place. If America functioned this way, then my mom and dad would have been happier, then my mom would have been happier, and I wouldn't have experienced this abuse. Because a lot of times that's what we're talking about, is neglect and abuse from with these backgrounds of these feminists. And so they're, you know, by and large, not happy people. They're not happily married with children, generally. They're single, they have one child, they're divorced, they're what have you. Not that there's anything wrong with being those things, but there is something wrong if you use that to say that there's something wrong with the way, you know, men are, and that everything is the result of this so-called patriarchy, which is just bunk, quite frankly. So the whole concept of, or the whole notion that people have really been raised on the last several decades, that men have had it made, and that they're really, you know, natural-born oppressors who will hold women down any chance they get is absolute. I mean, it's really one of the greatest inculcated into people in so many different capacities, starting with your professors on campus, then with the media, and then also with a lot of very sad and unhappy wives and mothers who pass that information on to their daughters. So we have a real problem here in this culture where the whole idea that meme that women are men are bad is just sort of, well, says it, you know, if a relationship goes south, well, it's a man's fault. What do you do? You know, there's just never any spotlight on women to say, look, if you're a full in society, if you're a full member of society, what is your role? Are you a victim? Because if you're a victim, then and that is their position, that women are essentially victims of everything. But at the same time, you're trying to say empowered and just as good as a man. So you can't have it both ways. Which is it? Do you want to be the victim or do you want to be the adult?
Well, on top of that, women want men. They want men paying their child support. They want men siring their children. They want men paying their rent. You know, at the same time, they have nothing good to say about us. My response to that is, if I'm a piece of shit, why should I be supporting you? Why should I be helping you have babies? Why should I be paying for them? Do it on your own, sister, and I'll do my own thing. And if we ever hook up, great. But I have no interest in having you live in my home.
Well, there's no question that it's getting harder and harder to find, I guess, women who are really committed to a family life that involves the man in a full capacity. You know, the family court systems we know are biased against men and fathers. That's just not even disputable. And really resorted, we've made men into sort of weekend fathers, if that, and women have often control even the custody arrangements. You know, you can make a custody arrangement lawful, but that doesn't mean she's going to follow through with it. And since women mostly have the custody, they really have the power, don't they? And so
they have power in more ways than that. Women have the right to get pregnant and not tell a man about it.
That's right. That's
to move that child around the world, to never say a word about it. They have the right to come back 17.
They do that. But
right?
Technically, they're not supposed to. You're not supposed to leave the state. You know, both parents are supposed to be in the same state. Of course, that differs from state to state.
Yeah, well, that's what the law says.
Yeah.
But good luck getting that enforced in most states.
Right.
And so what can happen is a woman can go globetrotting with your child that you don't even know you have for years and years, come back years later and say, you owe me 10 years worth of back child support, you deadbeat.
Right. Now, of course,
why would any man want to participate in a system like that?
I think a lot of men, honestly, like the average Joe, doesn't know or understand how bad it is. You have to. You sound like you're. I don't know how old you are, but you're speaking like someone who's had a lot of experience and may.
I've been divorced. Let me tell you something, so you know. I've been divorced 4 times, so believe me, I know how the system works.
Right. So somebody like you, you know, been there, done that. But you know, your average 20 or 30 something guy going into marriage, presumably, you know, assuming that they will, and still most do, even though that's definitely changing. They're not really, I don't think, aware of what we're talking about. They sort of vaguely have heard about it, but they don't really understand how serious it is and how life altering it can be. And we need more stories like, you know, I posted one recently from a guy who committed suicide in D.C., Chris Mackney, on womenformen.org, my site. And it highlights these personal stories of men who have been completely removed from their children's lives, good men with no prior record, and how the law was essentially on their wives' side. And I think we need to have, you know, it's not like the media is clamoring for these stories, let's face it. So the good thing about the internet is that it's probably the best place, the best medium, if you will, to get this information out so that people are even aware of it. I don't know if you got wind of the International Men's Conference in Detroit that took place a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, with Paul Elam, absolutely.
Yes, so I attended that, and I went on Fox Friends shortly after to discuss it and explain how great it was from the inside, having been there, compared to the media accounts, of course, were writing about it. I don't know if you got any of that, yeah. But of course, that was mostly negative. But the beauty of it is that when the media speaks and they want to discredit a conference like that, that was just a wealth of information from some fabulous folks about what's going on with men and boys, when you have the media that want to twist and turn and do what they do, the internet and places like A Voice for Men, it can call them to task by setting them straight. And of course, 10, 15 years ago, we couldn't really, or 20 years ago, we couldn't do this. So the internet is really, I think, the best tool to really get this information out there about what's going on with fathers, with men and boys, and how the whole system is really rigged against them. Because when you talk about it real quickly in 2 minutes on the TV, people just think you're what's that word for a phrase? You know, when you're...
A harpy, hateful, a misogynist.
Well, no, but I mean, when you're trying to scare people, scare tactic or whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, just they don't get it. They've never heard this before. And then you go on TV for 2 minutes and say something. People dismiss it. You really need words. You need words on paper. And people aren't reading books too much these days, but they're reading blogs and you know, they'll get that information through a YouTube video or what have you. So TV is just not the best medium to really get out what's really going on.
No doubt about that. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and there's going to be a great conversation with our guest, Suzanne Venker, and, of course, our friend, attorney Adam Sachs. Of course, Suzanne, she is the author of the book Flip Side of Feminism, The War on Men. We have a link to Suzanne if you'd like to get more information about who she is and some of her writings. We would certainly love you to see what she has to say, not just here, but on her own blog. And, of course, you'll want to join us here on the phone as well at this telephone number. It's 901-3000-TOM. And let's get your opinion here at 901-3000-TOM. We're talking about some really important issues here. We want you to weigh in here at 901-3000-866.
No transmitters, no satellite dishes, no corporate bullshit. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Summer's here, and it's a great time to enjoy a new car. And our friends at Spreen Honda are fully stocked to make it easy for you to drive off in one of the most reliable rides on the road. Hondas, you know how I feel about them. I've had great experiences owning many of them, and I highly recommend them for their value and reliability. And face it, they can be fun cars to drive. Check out their selection and great prices at SpreenHonda.com. That's SpreenHonda.com. You can drop by Spreen's huge dealership in Loma Linda or give them a call at 909-799-7070. Spreen Honda, they also have a huge selection of quality, affordable used cars of all major brands. It's all right there at Spreen Honda, just off the 10 in Loma Linda, about 30 to 40 minutes from most parts of LA and OC. Call or drop by today. And do tell Jeff Spreen and his great staff that we sent you. It's 909-799-7070. Spreen Honda. SpreenHonda at SpreenHonda.com.
New normal rock. Newer, faster, harder rock. 24-7. Listen now or we'll pee on your rug.
They pee on your fucking rug.
Pee on my fucking rug.
Find us at NewNormalRock.com and apps like TuneIn.
They peed on your fucking rug.
No ballots, no broads, no bullshit.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Don't make us pee on your rug.
New normal rock.
Let's talk about El Pollo Inca. El Pollo Inca restaurant in Gardena is owned by our P1 lister Antonio Atoche and his brothers, and they serve the best Peruvian food you'll find anywhere, including their famous pollo a la brasa, which is delicious rotisserie chicken. And that's just a start. They've got tons of amazing beef, chicken, seafood, and vegetarian dishes, and a friendly staff. Get their special chicken soup complimentary with every meal, and man, is it good. Plus, get this, the soup is all you can eat when you're dining in. El Pollo Inca on West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, right on the 91 and where the 110, 405, and 91 meet. Check out their full bar, offering specialty drinks like their killer Pisco Sour, a signature Peruvian cocktail. And don't miss their hard-to-find Peruvian beers. They've got karaoke on Thursday nights, salsa dancing Friday through Sunday nights, even salsa classes if you want to learn. Get info at this number, 310-516-7378, or visit ElPolloInca.com. El Pollo Inca, 1425 West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, close to the 710 and minutes from the 605. Easy to get to, lots of free parking, no excuses. Get your ass out to El Pollo Inca in Gardena.
The Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000-TOM, that is our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM. You can reach us here at 901-3000-866. Our guest, Suzanne Venker, author, speaker, and she has a blog. You can go to her blog. It's womenformen.org. Womenformen.org. And her books, The Flip Side of Feminism and The War on Men. And attorney Adam Sachs joins us in studio as we talk about some of these issues. It's my position, Suzanne, that men are going to have to vote with their feet. If we want things to change, if women think there's a shortage of good men now, if men en masse, and of course we'll never all do the same things, but if men en masse just boycott marriage, boycott child rearing, boycott child making, only then, once women realize that the court system and the laws have made men just walk away, only then will they push for political change, don't you think?
Yeah, I do agree with you. And Helen Smith wrote Men on Strike last year, and that gets to the heart of men, as you say, a group of men, not I should say group, I mean a growing trend of men who are doing just that. I don't think, of course, I can't predict the future. I worry that men en masse won't do that enough for a lot of reasons. One is most obvious being that I don't think they band together the way women do and, you know, generally complain or seek out exactly what's happening and why in a way that, you know, you might or I might want someone to. I think the way that I want to go about it, and I'm trying to go about it, is to go through through the women for them, so to speak. And what I mean by that is, in The War on Men, which, by the way, is an ebook at Amazon. It's not like the flip side. It's a very short ebook. And it opens up by giving some examples of high-profile women who have made some just truly shocking statements about men in general and basically how they're superfluous and unnecessary and all the rest. And they're so shocking that really when you absorb it and you realize that we're hearing this stuff on a daily basis, I don't know how people can expect anything positive or good to come from their relationships at all when you have an environment.
Oh yes, well we're all men are unnecessary, but they want alimony from us. Women want child support from us.
Well, right. Yes, right.
Women want us to be engaged in child rearing with them.
On their terms.
In fact, I see this disgusting thing called co-parenting.
Yes.
Where a man essentially has no stake in the family at all.
Yep.
He's a human wallet and a sperm donor. And he's someone who comes to babysit while the woman is going out and finding the next sucker who will sire her next kid. It's insanity.
Right. So there are two ways to tackle this. You have changing hearts and minds, and then you have changing law. Now, there are a lot of people who are working on the law side, a lot of really good people working on policies and law, which is necessary and great, and I completely support it. I do worry that laws don't get changed until minds and hearts get changed first. So that's sort of where I come in with my writing, and I'm trying to speak directly to women since I believe that's where the problem really lies and begins with women. And by the way, and this goes back to our misogynist comment, if I say this, I must hate women. I actually think women are victims of society. I generally don't think women, I don't believe the whole feminist junk about women being victims at all. But I do think that the modern generation of women, basically anybody born after 1970, let's say, is a victim of society in the sense that they have been raised to be disrespectful of men and to be so empowered, not in a good sense, but by disempowering men, that they don't realize, honestly, the extent of what they're doing. I genuinely do believe that. And I think that when people do it in the public eye, like these examples that I gave at the beginning of the War on Men ebook, you just become numb. You say something often enough and people believe it, and it takes. It's like the when you tell one person, they tell the next person. What am I trying to say? The telephone game or whatever.
Yeah.
It just takes on a life of its own. And I genuinely believe that there are the angry women out there, and they're the loudest. But then I believe there's this huge portion of women who are just not realizing that what they're doing. So I'm trying to speak to them and say, look, here's what you've been raised with. I know it feels normal. I know it feels like that's just what you do, and it's, and everyone laughs along. Ha ha ha! It's funny. Let's make fun of men. Let's let's have lots of commercials that just mock them, and that's so cute and funny. This has consequences, and until you completely revamp the way you think about men and the male-female relationship and how it's designed to work in tandem by focusing on our differences and not trying to compete with one another with this faux equality crap, you're never going to ultimately find happiness. And that goes back to what I think you said Adam was saying at the beginning about marriage being, you know, people falling away from that because they're not really understanding how to make those differences work for them. That's where I am really concerned that people have gotten lost, is that this faux version of equality suggests that men and women are essentially the same. And, of course, they're not the same. They are hugely different. And until we are allowed to talk about those differences without being concerned that it makes one or the other less than, we can't really move forward with this issue, no matter what it is. And then you can't change laws. You can't change policies. So that's why I'm all about trying to start with our minds and how we're thinking about men and women.
Well, I do believe that, I must say that unfortunately what's happened is the major media now are all geared towards getting women to watch. Mm-hmm. So news has gone from being about news, Afghanistan, Iraq, what's going on in Congress. It's now a series of kitten up a tree stories, losing weight stories, and very little actual news, okay? As far as advertising is concerned, and I think advertising is more influential than any newscast, we have TV commercials and secondarily sitcoms on TV where the man is a bumbling, stumbling idiot. Who doesn't know how to raise his kids, doesn't know how to relate to his kids. Mom has to always be called in to take care of the important issues, and dad is some kind of a dork. This is what we have now, and this is the way people are being raised. And now politicians, and I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, I'm a libertarian. But when Democrats are winning elections, let's face it, Democrats and feminism go hand in hand. Mm-hmm, and so every time you elect Democrats, you are voting for teachers who cannot be evaluated for excellence. You are talking about more laws that require government to pay for child care and make men pay even more child support and even more benefits for women. And you don't see any changes in the law that are going to make things more equal. The idea that a woman can get pregnant and run around the world with your child and you don't even know you have a child is just outrageous, and nobody ever does anything about it. We have a guy here, and I'm not saying he did the right thing. We have a story here that we just posted on our website. A guy who is being charged with feeding his girlfriend an abortion pancake. Essentially, he took a Plan B pill and sprinkled it above the pancake, and she ate it, and she miscarried that child. as a result, and so he's being charged with, like, murder. Meanwhile, if she decided to take that Plan B pill on her own, there'd be no murder at all. It'd be totally legitimate, and, in fact, the man wouldn't even have a say in that. This is why I tell men, you know what, don't even get involved. You know, always use protection. Never let yourself impregnate anybody. Your sperm is like letting loose a million little blank checks inside a woman that she'll be cashing for the rest of her life. But you shouldn't be making abortion pancakes. You shouldn't be making it necessary for someone to have an abortion, frankly. I see these stories every single day, and I think men feel more and more helpless. And women are complaining that, quote-unquote, men won't grow up, and men just want to sit home and watch television and play video games, and they don't want to get serious and grow up and handle responsibility. You know, but the reality is, I think men have gotten smart. And you know what? If the world is going to be colleges run by tribunals, where anything you say can and will be used against you, get you thrown out of college, if having a child means you've shifted the balance of power in your relationship so the woman can decide where you're going to live and how much you're going to pay and how long you're going to be forced to hang around and listen to her crap, why would a man want to be in a world like that?
Well, it is interesting that nobody thinks to ask, men weren't that way before, so what has happened in the last X amount of time? We don't take it that step further, because my father wasn't that way. Fathers of the previous generation, certainly not World War II generation in mass as a whole, were not that way. So then the most legitimate step to take is, what's happened to change men as a general rule? And so, again, this has a lot to do with what I write about and the idea that women ultimately civilize men. You know, women bared the children. They raised them. They're really the hands-on caretakers of children, including, obviously, the boys. And then
Susanna, are women willing to give that role anymore? Haven't women also left and absconded from that?
I truly don't think they understand the role they play in civilizing men. And I don't think they would want it. I think if you present it that way, you know, the average young woman today, they're not understanding the delicate balance in how men and women interact. Men want to please, generally speaking, love a woman. When they do get attached, they want to please you. They want to be your hero. They will respond. And I shouldn't. Again, this is generalizing, but they want to respond positively to you. All they want is really for you to just be happy, but it will make that happen for you if you treat them the same way they treat you, which is, of course, with respect. And I think men are more generally, naturally respectful toward women than the reverse, which is not what feminism, of course, would say, because they respect so much. Does that make sense? So, because they value it, I should say, so much, it's natural for them to respect people around them, including women. But if you're up against a woman who doesn't deserve it, because you can't just act any way you want and expect that respect, you have to earn it, too, and you have to give back. And when you don't give back, and when you're not respectful, you're going to get the shit out of the stick. So then you turn around and you go, where have all the good men gone? Which is fine, fair enough, but you haven't looked in the mirror and you haven't said, what did I do to make them go away? And is it really that they just all band together in the last couple of decades and decide they were just going to be, you know, just drop out of society? Something happened to make them react the way they're reacting. And we have to face that, even if it means saying something negative about our own sex.
Right, and that's where the thing that happened is feminism.
And that's our sex, right?
you got to go with me any morning to family court. You know, and I'm a family law attorney, as you know. I mean, women are so angry, and they blame all of their problems and frustrations today on men. And what's unbelievable is that the law and society supports that.
Exactly. So you hit the nail on the head. That, again, going back to that hearts and minds thing, they've been so schooled in the theory of the patriarchy that anything that goes wrong in your life, your relationship, your job, if it goes bad or south or not the way you want, let's just put it that way, you're discontent, he's doing something. Something's happening to you, and it's always him. So that's not going to get you. And the reason why they're not happy is because they're not doing what they should be doing, which is looking inward and saying, what can I do differently? What am I doing wrong? What, how can I change the situation by taking responsibility for my own attitudes and behavior and bring about a more desired result? Which is not to say there aren't cads in the world who you could do that and they're still going to walk all over you. But guess what? They're rare. They're not the norm. We have it completely reversed. We have men as though they're cads in general, and then maybe there's a few good ones dispersed. It's the opposite. But people don't realize that. And so when you have that attitude that you're taking with you and you're carrying it with you, men feel it. They know within the, 10 minutes of meeting you, whether or not you have a chip on your shoulder. It is as clear as day. And when men come across a woman who's genuinely like their mother, let's say, or like a more old-fashioned woman who's happier and who doesn't have that chip on their shoulder and who wants to be, you know, happy and loving and not angry, it is so, it's rare, A, and B, it's so obvious.
Wait, I think the only chance of finding her is a woman from another country. I mean, seriously.
Well, so that's a great point because, in my own family, not my immediate, but my in-laws, my husband and I talk about our nephews, all of whom, there's a lot of them from the same sibling mix. And I think only one of them is married to a Caucasian American, white American woman. And the rest are not from here. And that, now listen, this is just one family, one middle-class American family. This is not all from the same family. It's really fascinating to me and really makes you think, because that's where you go, wow, what they may not even consciously be doing it, or they may not even talking about it, but there's a reason why this is happening. That's too many in one family, it's saying there's something about women outside of America that does differ from the women in America. And that's not to say, that's not something to shy away from. We just have to say, what have we done? What is going on? Because who wants to be with an angry person, whether you're male or female? Who wants that? I mean, especially when the anger is directed at you. That's not enticing. So generally speaking, I don't think, and again, generalization, non-Western women, whether we're talking Asian women or, one of them, I think, even married someone from Pakistan. I mean, they're just women who have a completely different view of womanhood and manhood and gender relations in general.
But see, so would meet your nephews, an American mm-hmm. woman would say, what an asshole he is that he married this woman from wherever, Pakistan or anywhere else. He obviously wants a slave girl. He wants a submissive woman, not an intelligent, independent American woman. He doesn't have the guts to face her.
And here's the joke of it. They are independent women with their own lives and their own everything. They're just also not this other way. And that's really the ticket. That's what people, women, especially in America, don't get. You don't have to be, your choices are not empowered career woman, run roughshod, be in charge, or docile, submissive housewife. There is this huge middle ground where you can have your own life, have your own identity, and still be happily, still find lasting love and, marriage or otherwise. But you have to take on a completely different attitude in that relationship, because power and love are not, they're at odds, really. When you're looking to have power, that takes one set of skills, right? When you're looking to love someone, that's a whole different set of skills, especially if you're going to do it for life. And if you're bringing the power piece into it, you're going to fail because it doesn't belong there.
Before we go to our next break, I want to throw something in here out of left field. A listener posted a meme on Facebook. It was a photograph, and here's what it says. This is for someone listening right now. It said, the result of the war on men, Elliot Rodger.
Uh-huh, yeah.
What would your reaction to that be?
That's pretty harsh.
So when that happened, of course, you had this insane backlash from feminists who thought this was proof that misogyny is real and alive in America, which is so disgusting because this boy was so sick. And you think that they would use something that awful for political gain, which, of course, I mean, I'm not surprised in the least, but that's an example of how the information, the wrong information, misinformation gets spread. And when you are confronted with people who do something as ridiculous as that, you have to question them. You know, the thing with real radical type thinkers, whether you're a feminist or just a left winger or whatever, is they're so morally arrogant. You know, they want to ask you the questions and expect you're having to defend yourself before you've barely even spoken. Turn it around on them and ask them, because 9 out of 10 times they don't have the answers to the questions that they're asking you, or they don't even know why they think the way they think. So they just glob on to something that they saw or read about. Let's use this as an example, is Elliot Rodger. The crux of his issues was not misogyny. The crux of his issues were much deeper. It manifested itself in this particular case toward misogynistic behavior and attitudes. But you could take that same base issue and it could have been directed elsewhere. So I forgot how we started this, but he said the war on men.
Well, I was talking about the meme, and it said the meme said result of the war on men, and it was a photo of Elliot Rodger.
But usually but when that happened, they were using that as an example of the war on women. So I don't get the war on men part then.
That person who wrote that meme is probably one of my listeners, not a feminist, and that
right.
person is saying the exact opposite.
The fact is,
Elliot Rodger, who grew up in a home with divorce and with who knows what went on with custody and alimony and child support and whatever, this is the result you get.
Yeah, although I would personally be careful with anything that, when you get into mental illness, that's a kind of a different... I don't know, it's just different territory altogether, but I understand the parallel, yes.
Yeah, okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Suzanne Venker and Adam Sachs, and we have calls coming up with you at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. It's 901-3000-866.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
The Tom Likas Show. We have great listeners. And that means ecstatic advertisers.
Hi, this is Adam Sachs, and I'm an attorney, and I have been advertising on the Tom Likas Show since he got started. I didn't really know what to expect when he made the transition to internet radio. I have been very pleasantly surprised. I've gotten great response and great results, and I would certainly recommend it to anyone who wants to get into the great demographic of young men 20 to 40. And I certainly think that it is a great way to spend advertising money and to get great, great response.
If you can't remember the last time you got response from your advertising, brother, do you need to call the new normal now? Tap into the most responsive audience in any medium.
There's no doubt about it. I'm seeing a great return on my investment.
Hop on now and be part of new media history. It's going nowhere but up. Advertise like you mean it. Call 818-52-RADIO. 818-52-RADIO. That's the new normal at 818-52-RADIO.
Here you go. Just what you need to kick off your summer. Foco Liz is back with brand new additions to the FOCO clothing line at FOCOU-FOCOME.com. T-shirts, tops, tanks, and accessories for both guys and chicks, all designed by Liz and made with high-quality material. Grab yourself a classic tee in sizes small to double XL. Or check out the accessories, including wristbands, hats, bags, and more, for you or to give as a gift. It's all FOCO, and it's all at the right price. Show your support for an original P1 who has not only supported the show for years, but has fed the content kitty with those gems you'll never forget. Show her some love at FOCOU-FOCOME.com today. It's the complete line of everything FOCO, but the ceviche, of course, at FOCOU-FOCOME.com. The Tom Likas Show. With our guest, Suzanne Venker, her book, The War on Men, which is an e-book, The Flip Side of Feminism. And you see her all the time on Fox News. And, you know, if more women thought like Suzanne Venker, we wouldn't be in the soup we're in. That's the bottom line here. But let's go to your calls here at 901-3000-TOM for our guest, Suzanne Venker. This is Vince in Denver. Vince, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Vince.
I have one thing to add to this issue is I don't think women have the voice that they think they have. The National Organization for Women represents one in 250 women, and yet they're given credit for having the voice of all women all the time, it seems to me.
The one in 250 from where?
Now.
The National Organization for Women.
Oh yeah, now, yeah. No, so he's right. He's right on one point, and this is very key. And I talk about this in Flipside, and the War on Men. Actually, the number of women, I think, who feel the way that I'm talking about, who do have disdain for men, and who do not understand. You know, the male-female relationship and are kind of dismissive of men in general. I think that they represent actually the minority of women in America, but because they have the microphone, because in the media, in Hollywood, and in on our college campuses, the feminist mindset reigns supreme, you know, it dominates. It makes it seem as though that is the norm. So, in fact, when you said, you know, more people should think like me, that would be great. And thank you very much, by the way. But I think, actually, most people, believe it or not, do. But they're women in general are misrepresented because I'm not the ones you hear the most of. Does that make sense? And so they don't the average woman doesn't have support for the way they think. And then when they do think the way you're thinking, the way we're talking about, they get shouted down so quickly. I think a lot of them just give up, and they may not agree, but they just say whatever, you know, and just sort of appear to be going along with it. Does that make sense?
Well, it's my opinion that women who don't label themselves feminists, and I know this is dicey territory I'm getting into, but I think it's true. Women who do not label themselves feminists also probably would not label themselves as overtly political. Feminists, generally, in my view and my experience, consider themselves to be political animals.
Absolutely.
But I think women who don't label themselves feminists, they're not even involved in the debate.
That's exactly right. They're too busy home getting married and having kids and being happy or just living their lives.
Exactly.
Right?
That's
it. So that's it in a nutshell. So you don't hear from them. So what you think is actually the norm isn't the norm. You know, because the people you're hearing from are the small group of people who are not married or who are single or who have one child or no children or whatever. And they have more opportunity to just be out and spouting off. And then they claim to speak for women. You know, when you talk about the women's movement, it's the feminist movement, not the women's movement. You call it the women's movement, the suggestion is any normal woman thinks this way and jumps on board and should jump on board.
Vince, thank you for the call.
Yeah.
No, go ahead and finish your thought there.
I was just going to say you've got to distinguish between women and feminists. Feminist is a subset of women. It's not that all women are feminists or should be, which is how they frame the debate.
Let's go to John in Rex, Georgia. John, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Suzanne Venker. Hello.
Hey, what's up? Hey, Tom, how you doing?
That doing okay.
That last comment on National Organization of Women, interesting. They were compromised back when they let Ross Perot speak for the people back during that time. They've been fully compromised with the Republican Party some time ago. They don't represent the women at all. They're a total joke anyway. Just a side issue. But the reason I'm calling it myself, I think women are a bunch of emotion-filled children. I've been women as children since I was 15 years old. I'm 48 years old now. I have no respect for them. I mean, they're a big joke. I mean, they just want a one-way relationship with everybody. What's the point of even talking to them anymore? I don't understand. What is amazing is all the mangina and white knights can even humor these loser females and allow them to act the way they act. That has a lot to do with it, I'm afraid.
Do you notice that the younger they are, the more likely they are to be that way?
No, not at all. In fact, it's the adults that are more like that. From my experience, actually, the teenage girls don't seem that way. I'm a little unique myself. I'm still very attractive physically, even though I'm 48 years old. But the point being is, the adults cop the attitude because they're trying to get something they get from you. Instead of having an equal relationship with you, they just want it's just a raw relationship. They're just children. I mean, I just don't see any point in even having a conversation with most of them anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's a whole nother realm that isn't just strictly a feminist thing. I think, one of the things that I, again, in my book, I've said, you know, feminism, even though it's the main culprit, and that's what I'm tackling there, we still have a couple of other issues in the last 40 years that we have to deal with. You know, the decline of religion, for example, the fact that families are now spread out and, you know, divorce is rampant. And, of course, the biggest one, which is materialism. You know, we're an extraordinarily materialistic country. And where feminism comes into play with materialism, and you don't hear about this a lot at all, you know, money and feminism don't usually get connected, but they should be. Because really what feminism is arguing for is, and what they're saying is that you cannot be satisfied being a wife and mother. That's the bottom. That's the argument they've been making for 40 years. The only way to become satisfied is to get the accolades at the office and to receive a paycheck. That's where true satisfaction lies. Well, what is that argument but a value-oriented, money-oriented argument? You know, you're saying when you give of yourself, when you sacrifice, you're not going to get anything back for that. When you go to work, you're going to get a pat on the back and a paycheck, and isn't that great? So it's really a value. So it does, feminism does play into the materialistic materialism, I should say, of America in the last several decades, but we're materialistic anyway. So it's sort of like they feed into each other, if you will. But we have certainly become so much more thing-oriented than people-oriented. So I think a lot of that plays a role into the kind of females and males, you know, I'd say males too, but definitely more females because they're the ones who are getting fed the idea that the world is all about them and should be, and everyone's supposed to sort of cater to you for years of oppression and, you know, all those messages. So it's definitely way more female than male. But I think even younger males have a tendency to be that way as well. I just think we're just really empty, sad creatures in general.
Oh my,
Jesus,
Suzanne Venker,
did you just say that?
I do. I'm so sad. I'm just so sad.
But Suzanne, honestly, and not to put too fine a point on it, I think that Tom and I certainly represent one extreme. And I had hoped on some level that you were going to give us some kind of middle ground.
Adam, I don't agree. I don't think we're an extreme. The abortion pancake is an extreme.
Oh, okay, all right. I'll give him the pancake.
We're somewhere,
Tom,
in the middle. Yes.
Okay, let's not go for the pancake. But in terms
we're not on the abortion pancake end of the spectrum.
Fair enough. What I have gotten, Suzanne, from your writing and one of my, admirations of you is that you're not ready to give up, and you're saying, there is this other thing and women have to be aware of it, and the people that are rejecting it today are people that don't understand, or they've heard the wrong messages or whatever. And, you know, yes. Tom and I are more kind of in the, you know, Susan Smith thing. Not Susan Smith, I'm sorry.
Dr. Helen Smith.
Thank you. The men on strike.
Yes.
Who are just saying, you know, the hell with the whole thing.
Enough.
And you see men opting out. And Tom always points out how, you know, in the recent U.S. Census, we have more single people and people are delaying marriage later and later.
Yep.
And, you know, anyone who has an older brother or a father or whoever that went through a bitter divorce, any young man has got a real example and can say, oh, my God, you know, I never want to have that happen to me. So, you know, there's got to be some kind of thing. And you know, this caller that was just on, you know, talking about how, you know, women are childish or whatever. I mean, I have to say that I've been in court, and I mean, real serious stuff. And a woman, you know, starts crying and stamping her feet, and it's like throwing a little temper tantrum. And you go, oh, my God, this woman's 35 years old. You know, she's a dentist and she's a mother of three and she's throwing a temper tantrum. And
that's
well, I've experienced it, you know, going on dates and girls are crying and screaming and whatever. And I think that women have gotten some very bad lessons.
Women are crying and screaming on a date with you, Adam? How can that be?
That's a possibility,
you know,
Tom.
What did you do?
not a whole lot to deserve it is what I'm saying. You know, this is kind of
Let me grab one more call here before we wrap up this hour. Jim in Huntington Beach, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs and our guest Suzanne Venker. Hello.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Jim. How about you?
Hey, I'd like to just make a comment with regard to dating foreign women. I actually go to Brazil all the time. I learned to speak Brazilian Portuguese. I was married here for 17 years to an American. I went out on 3-4 dates after the divorce. Ugly divorce, by the way. I should have known Adam Sachs then.
When is a divorce not ugly, right? I mean, come on.
Oh, you have no idea, my friend. I'm very polite here. I go back and forth all the time. I won't even date an American woman. Won't even consider it. The level of entitlement, and they want to qualify me more than banks do. And it's absolutely ridiculous. So, I mean,
well, that, yeah, by the way, I don't know how new you are to the show. That's something I've said for years. I refused to date American women. And, you know, I would still never be with an American woman under any circumstances, ever. No interest.
I agree. I have absolutely no interest. The women in particularly South America, you know, educated, speak multiple languages, and understand that a man and a woman are different, and they're not entitled to my assets. Period.
Yeah, and yet they're everything that the average feminist says women should be, aren't they? In terms of having their own lives, their own voice, their own interests, right? That's the ticket there, is understanding it's not either or. They were, you know, American women have been fed this crap that you have to get you have to rid yourself of men in marriage to become this other person, but you don't.
Yeah, but why does an American woman think it's degrading, for example, to take care of her husband or to take care of her children? You know, why would
because
she be ridiculed by women to say, you're staying home, you should have a career, you're a loser?
Because it's been so instilled in both her and the culture that is less than or beneath you as a human being, that the ultimate proof of having made it, if you will, is to make something of yourself outside of your four walls there, where people can, you know, where you can get those accolades and get that paycheck. So it's the devaluing of that role of being sacrificial or giving of oneself. You know, it's the lack of spirituality, really, and the focus on the self as a replacement for that, you know, whether you want to call it God or spirituality or, you know, just a higher purpose, you know, whatever you want to say. It's the complete shift of focus and values that has screwed them up so bad that they think they need to prove themselves in some sort of physical, you know, some sort of tangible way to be worthy. And that if they, you know, give you a meal, for example, feed you a meal, that's beneath them. You know, it's just, that's what menial people do. Like, that's what you know, you pay people to do that.
How can that be when raising your own children is considered menial?
Yeah, because that's how devalued it has become. There's no paycheck. There's nobody patting you on the back. You have got to come to that task with an internal attitude that says, I want to be here. I'm doing the right thing. This is the place to be, regardless of whether or not the culture thinks it is or not. And nothing like that
happens in a vacuum. This is the reason I also see no benefit to being married, no benefit to having children, no benefit to raising a family. As a man, what is the benefit to me? In our society, kids are entitled, and there's no guarantee mm-hmm. they're going to empty your bedpan in this country when you're old anyway. There was once a time when you had kids so that your farm would be staffed with cheap labor. The idea of having kids and having them be disrespectful or ungrateful for what you've done for them, I'm checking out. I have no interest in that whatsoever.
And I get it. I get it. I hear you, and I get it, and I know why, and I can either roll over and say, well, that's the world's going to hell in a hand, you know, whatever, hell in a handbasket or whatever. Handbasket? What is it?
I haven't seen a good handbasket around lately. Yes, handbasket.
Or I can try to do something about it. And my way of doing something about it is going through the women. That's what I'm doing.
Suzanne, so what is that? Do me a favor. If we're wrapping up soon, Tom.
We are. We're wrapping up now.
All right, hold on. No corporation, Tom. Hold on. Seriously, Suzanne. So what are you talking about then? Really, where do we go with this? Because you know, Tom and I have sort of restated the problem a few times, and you seem to agree with us.
I do agree with you that we have the problem, and I'm saying, how do you solve it? They want to say, where have all the good men gone? They're all assholes. I'm saying, no. You've got to look at what's happened in the last several decades in America sociologically, and B, you've got to look in the mirror and say, what am I contributing to this disaster? Is there something how am I different from my mother, my grandmother? How am I different from the, you know, what was different before, and how can I make it better myself? And so you look and say, what do I bring to this relationship? Suzanne, I
want to interrupt you for 1 second. Yes. I want to tell you, because Adam knows this and the listeners know this, but you don't. What is different today from your mother and your grandmother with women today? Well, as I always say, your grandmother did not have 10 different email addresses with 8 of them ending in 6969. Your grandmother didn't have Facebook posting selfies of herself in a string bikini and your grandmother didn't have 576 friends on Facebook, 574 of which are dudes your husband never met. It's true, mm-hmm. isn't it? Your grandmother didn't have 6 cell phone numbers, didn't have Twitter, didn't have Instagram, didn't have Pinterest. What you've got now is people living their lives, posting naked pictures of themselves. I see these selfies being posted by women, you know, naked pictures with their chicks, with their children in the picture. It's unbelievable, some of this stuff. It's scandalous. I refer to today's American women as scandalous skanks, and if there were women around like my mother, well, sign me up. But they don't exist anymore. Women like that don't exist. You get married to somebody, and she's going to keep her Facebook page with her 572 dude friends, and that's the way it is now.
Well, and when I say I'm going through a woman, I'm trying to say, you might feel powerful momentarily when you act this way, but you are ultimately going to be alone. And you are not going to be happy. That's the bottom line. So have your fun, but know that in the end, if you're living your life solely for yourself, you are going to have a mess of a home life. You're going to have no love in your life, and your children are going to turn against you if you have any, and you're just going to be alone. So
then you can blame men. Where have all the cowboys gone? Where are all the good men?
Right.
You're never going to blame yourself for this. You're never going to blame your scandalous behavior for this. You're going to blame men.
But I liken it to just things like, alcoholism or trying to quit smoking, or if you're, 100 pounds overweight. How are you going to solve that problem? You're going to point finger at someone else, or are you going to say, what am I going to do differently? What's going on with my behavior that I can change? Because looking inward is the only way to solve this. But you're right. It's all about me and the self. So no marriage can survive when half of the partnership is focused on me, myself, and I. It doesn't work. That's the opposite of marriage. So that is what is happening. It's not that men are just becoming scumbags all on their own. I mean, you have to...
We didn't become assholes in a vacuum, okay?
No,
we became assholes as a matter of necessity.
Yeah, did they all band together and say, I've got this great idea. Let's become assholes and bow out of society just for grin.
All right.
You know... When you go back to your mother and your grandmother,
you just wrote my life story there, Suzanne. There it was in a nutshell.
We don't have time for this, I guess. But you know, we haven't talked about sex. But let's face it. I mean, so much of this comes down to that, because when we talk about what's different between with our mothers or our grandmothers, depending on how old you are, that has everything to do with this conversation. Is sex? And when you say, "Where have all the good men gone?" Or not you. When women say that, what do they have to choose from today? If they have a smorgasbord of women who are ready, willing, and available within 2 hours of meeting, you're going to bring out the worst of... Well, first of all, there's nothing to choose from that. I mean, except the obvious. If you're looking for lasting love or marriage or any kind of permanence or just relationship, a connection, an emotional connection, the woman who is not going to be like those other women is going to stand out, and he's going to make a beeline for that woman when he finds her. So again, it's the women who have to change first to get the men to then make the beeline or have the men respond. They will respond to what you present to them.
Well, what man would want to have children with a woman he hooked up with on a website called Plenty of Fish?
I mean, and you always get to this part where you think, how can women actually, what are you looking for? Because when you're younger, it's easy to just say, I'm looking to get married or have fun. But fast forward 10 years and you're in your 30s, if you're saying that and you do want a family, what are you doing when you're going out on that date? If you really want a family, if you really want a connection with somebody, if you want that, what the hell are you doing going to bed with them? I don't understand. Like, where is the relationship going to come from once you've done that? You have to get to that point.
I think a lot of women are hoping for an accident. So later on, they could say it's the man's fault they got knocked up, and the man better step up to the plate. It's like all those women on the Maury show. I'm 1,000,000,000% sure Maury doesn't even buy me diapers. Women are hoping for a happy accident. So later they can blame the man because their life has turned to shit.
Oh, you have had some bad experiences.
Yes!
You're right. No, that is happening. I am not going to deny that. I do not think it's in mass form in the norm. I think women are a little more innocent than that, in that they're just not getting it.
Oh.
They're just
not Suzanne, you're such a great speaker. But you live in St. Louis. I've been to St. Louis. It's not like the rest of the country. Been there.
I thought it was all homogenized, Tom.
That's right. There are much better people in the Midwest, much better women in the Midwest than there are in the country.
That's why you have such a hopeful attitude. You live in St. Louis, and I understand. Having been to St. Louis, I know why you have this attitude. But
it's
come
true.
On out to L.A. and meet the women who ask you what zip code you live in when they meet you, or what hospital you're practicing at, and you're going to see what I'm talking about.
I know. I'm sorry for you. I don't know what to say. Everybody come to the Midwest. I have a friend on the other coast.
What are we saying here? Seriously, Tom? Women are different in the Midwest?
Oh, yeah. 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 They are. It's Suzanne. We're not including Suzanne in this or anybody we know.
God forbid.
Okay. Now, clearly, there's two differences between St. Louis and Los Angeles. One is that women are, I think, more wholesome and more family-oriented. Two is, though, they're not as attractive as some of the women we get in L.A. who are just super hot.
That's true. That is true.
Really? You think so?
It's more flashy. L.A. girls are just
Look,
more flashy.
As you know, there's a White Castle on every corner in St. Louis, Suzanne, as you know.
That's true.
That'll fix everything.
And I love White Castle, but not good for wearing a two-piece bathing suit. I'll tell you what.
There's There's St. Louis, and then there's Missouri.
Oh, well, there's St. Louis, there's St. Louis, and there's East St. Louis, okay.
Right, that's right. I get more opposite.
Suzanne, it's been a pleasure, and I'm glad Adam brought you in here to talk to us, and I hope everybody catches up with you. We've posted a link to your ebook, The War on Men. The other book is The Flip Side of Feminism. And, of course, you have your own website, which is very exciting, and it's called womenformen.org. Thank you so much for spending this time with us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Suzanne Venker and Adam Sachs, we will see you again in about 45 minutes.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks.
Okay. Coming up next, what is, here's the tease of a lifetime, folks. What is an abortion pancake? We're going to talk about it coming up next.
Radio would never, ever let us do this.
901-3000 Tom.
This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary, he's Dino. We are brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's Beer Magazine. Young women who post sexy pictures of themselves on Facebook are judged negatively by other young women.
Right. But that's not why they're putting them up.
No. Well, they can't seem to win because you are right. They're looking for attention from young men.
Yeah.
Who, if they post pictures that are too so-called wholesome, have no interest in them whatsoever. Right. So you're a whore or, you don't get any.
Right. And they basically, the ones who are hating, it's just that. It's a bunch of haters against other women. Yeah. Done.
The author of the study says there's so much pressure on teen girls and young women to portray themselves as sexy, but sharing those sexy photos online may have more negative consequences than positive. Girls and young women are in a no-win situation when it comes to their Facebook photos.
They take that stuff real serious.
Jesus Christ.
God dang.
That's a study out of Oregon State University.
Yeah, that's real. That's legit.
That has real.
That's real.
Yes. The rapper who cut off his penis is continuing to talk about it. He did, in the past, say that he was high at the time.
He's added something.
Now he says that his penis was the cause of all his problems.
So he decided to cut it off because it was the root, and it is like a root, I guess, of all his problems. So he just thought the solution was to cut it off.
Yeah. Yeah, my solution to the problem was the realization that sex is for mortals, and I am a god.
Right.
Those kinds of activities got me into trouble, and I came here to be a god, so I cut off my penis and jumped.
Well, that to me would indicate the drugs are really kicking in when you start talking like that.
Now, I think our friend has more problems than just the drugs.
Oh, clearly. Dude, he cut his dick off. I can't imagine a more terrifying incident. And now he's talking about I am a golden god and all this wacky stuff.
People perceived me as crazy, he says, so I never wanted to speak wholeheartedly on the matter. I'm so glad that he decided to speak up. It really does change my perspective.
And that's Christ Bearer. That's his rap name.
Yes. Which country has the most nude beachgoers? This is a question on everybody's minds. Apparently answered today. That would be the Germans.
Really?
Yeah.
Germans. Wait a second. How is that even possible?
For the third consecutive year, Germany.
Yeah.
Germany.
Yeah,
likely to sunbathe fully nude. With 28%.
They're probably trying to catch any ray of light because I can't imagine it being...
Right.
I've never heard anybody say, I really enjoy the beaches of Germany. I've never heard that.
28% of Germans say they've spent a day at the beach in the nude. But for the first time, apparently Australians.
No, Austrians.
Austrians, rather. Yeah. That'd be different.
Yeah.
Australia and Austria.
Yeah.
Slightly different.
Yeah.
They have tied.
They tied.
Germany. Yeah.
And by the way, more men... then women prefer to do this nude sunbathing stuff. So, believe you me, you know how creepy those dudes are. We don't need to get into that.
Oh, shit.
There's something a little bit wrong.
Yeah. I guess it was like National Nude Day yesterday or something. Did you see that?
No,
a bunch of crazy nude people dancing in downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah,
they broke out into like his freaking crazy nude dance.
Yes, they did it, and they ran around.
And by the way, it's shot awesomely, but it's like there's like a lot of dudes dancing with other dudes.
Exactly, these are the same guys that are you know, at those German beaches.
Right.
Fucking weird.
Finally, a pick alert for you. It's Hilary Duff. Hilary Duff in a bikini.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen her. She's evaded getting a divorce. She looks so different. It's almost hard to believe that it's her, but she looks like a completely different
person. She's been working out or something, right? She's a little thick, like muscular thick.
Yeah, like aerobic kind of shit.
She doesn't have breasts really to speak of.
No. But she just had the chorens.
She got upper arms going and abs and all kinds of crazy shit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Our girl's all grown up.
She certainly is. There's plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
You better believe it, baby.
Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find a brand new show for you every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
All right, boys, let's talk insurance. Coslow Insurance. COSTLO. Now, you've probably heard Jeremy Rubin on our show. Jeremy's family has owned and operated Coslow since 1965, and they're all about getting you the right protection at the right price. Now, you know I got my Tesla Model S insured with Coslow. Well, you know I was so happy with their service. Now I've added two more of my cars and my home in the Hollywood Hills, and it's not just me. Plenty of listeners have called to tell us how thrilled they are that they've made the switch. Look, there's a reason Coslow has been in business for almost 50 years. Give them a call for a free, no-obligation quote. The number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance. It's 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com today. Coslow, COS. T-L-O.
This is the new normal.